Okay, everybody, 4:30. Time for the Urban Design Commission meeting for September 25. I'll call the meeting to order. Jess, if you could note the roll, I see that we have a quorum. First up is approval of minutes from a couple of weeks ago. That is a motion by Wendy. Is there a second on that? Russell, okay. Any discussion in the minutes? Okay, then by unanimous consent, the minutes are approved. Item number one is general public comment for any items related to urban design that's not on our agenda today, and there were no registrants for that. So we'll move on to disclosures and recusals. Rafiq.
Yeah, I want to recuse myself from item three.
Okay, thank you. Three, good. Julie, if you're ready, could you just remind the participants of the rules for our virtual meeting this afternoon?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. For commission members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. In addition, please use the raise hand feature to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or to note your vote in the event of a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call in commission members and staff in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. For members of the public and applicant teams who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. There is a 3-minute speaker time limit for individual speakers and a 10-minute time limit for development teams. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. You will remain muted until the chair calls on you to answer a question. If you need to share documentation with the commission, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be turned off. Back to you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Jess, we have a short one, but we still need an agenda overview.
We do indeed. I didn't need to make very many notes for this evening, but good evening, everyone. We do have a pretty light agenda. There is one public hearing item, which is item number two. This is 6910 Siebold Road. This is a new mixed-use development in Urban Design District 2. The UDC is an approving body on this request. And then there's the only other item on the agenda for this evening is one informational presentation, item number three. This is 6701 McKee Road. This was formerly addressed as 6853 McKee Road, and it is a planned development specific implementation plan for a new mixed-use development. The UDC will be advisory to the Plan Commission on this request when a formal application is filed. So with that, I'll hand it back over to you, Chair, to kick things off.
Okay, thanks. So with regard to item number two, Carl, if you're ready, we're ready.
Sounds good.
Okay, this is Tom Sanford. For some reason, I couldn't register on the phone, but anyway, I'm with Carl. So let's start. So we were very excited about this project. It's a small development and a very difficult development, especially the site. But I'm really happy about this, the way this development has it turned out. And I have to thank Homburg for the site work and Dimension 4 with this this beautiful building. Anyway, we're very happy about this project, the way it shaped up. And I'm very happy that we have a tenant that actually will contribute to the city of Madison. I'll let Carl talk about the design and landscaping also. Thank you.
All right, you can go to the next slide, Julie. Thank you. All right, so this is just an overview of the site. So we're on Siebold Road. We have the Verizon next to us, and then there's a Quality Inn to the east. So we're sandwiched between those right by the Beltline on-ramp. Next slide, please. These next two slides are just looking at the site plan. We can skip through this one, and the next one's the photometrics. So we can skip this one as well. All right, so this next slide is showing the landscaping. So we have our building. So for the landscaping, we've set it up to try to screen some of the less desirable views to the Beltline to the north and Siebel to the south. We also are trying to use the landscape to create a buffer between some of the adjacent land uses. So we have Verizon to the west and the Quality Inn to the east. And it's intended to complement the character of the building and soften the parking lots to the north and south. So we used deciduous and evergreen trees and shrubs throughout the site. Canopy trees are providing accents and framing to the building and parking lots. Some ornamental trees provide human level scale to the three parking lot planters close to the building. Small deciduous shrubs and low evergreen shrubs provide ground cover, color, and texture to the parking lot islands. And then some medium shrubs screen the parking lots from the adjacent streets. So we have a shared access easement with the Verizon site to access onto the site. And we have our primary parking for the grocery store is up in the front, and the apartment units have their parking along back along with their trash enclosure. Next slide, please. This next slide is showing just the general layouts of what's going to be happening. So on the first floor to the plan to the right, we have the grocery store. It has some storage areas, walk-in cooler, and then the stairwells to access these two apartment units up above. We also have an indoor bike storage for those two units. You can see from the plan and from the upcoming elevation sheets that we're planning some spandrel glazing along the grocery store. As a grocery store, they want a lot of wall space so they can get their freezers in. Our thought is that by using spandrel that has a film, that is someday in the future, if a different tenant moves in that's not a grocery store, that they would be able to remove the film and use that so this development could work well into the future. Next slide, please. Next is our roof plan. So you can see we have some overhangs around the grocery store and at the apartment units. And this is different from the last time. We now have decided our design build HVAC equipment will be on the roof. So we raised our parapet to screen all of this equipment. Next slide, please. And here in the elevations, some of the feedback we received last time was at the grocery store. We had that storeroom along the back. You can see on that west elevation. We removed some of that spandrel glazing as that was purely spandrel just to kind of create an aesthetic. And we instead are using double doors. So that actually really helped kind of create that, reduce the importance of that area just because it's not the front door. It's really for deliveries. We do want to keep that spandrel at the front, like I had mentioned before. We had inset the residential apartments, their front door. So they are now inset into the plan a little bit. We raised that parapet to conceal the mechanical. I think when we were here for our informational presentation, we had been asked to lower the parapet. And at that point in time, we actually didn't have a parapet. It was kind of just right at the roof edge. So we did wind up raising that to screen the mechanical equipment. So that was a little bit different. But we broke up the siding. We were always planning these fiber cement panels. We broke that up with some lap siding of the same color just to kind of introduce some texture and just a variation in the facade. Lastly, we brought that dark trim to the ground. I know that was a comment we had gotten last time. There's one side, the dark trim around that faux wood accent didn't go all the way to the ground. So we now continued that down. And we also adjusted the sidewalk triangle and plantings. But it's going to be a nice facade. We got some fiber cement and it's a metal siding that has the appearance of wood. So it'll be nice and low maintenance for the client. I think it comes together fairly nicely. You go to the next slide, please. Next, we had showed some section cuts of the building, kind of looking at the parapet heights. The equipment that is shown on there just is representational. That's going to be design build. We don't have that final information yet, but we'll need to adjust our parapets slightly to accommodate the screening of that equipment. Next slide, please. Next, this slide showing our trash enclosure, which is to the back of the site. So just some details on our bike racks. It's going to be just a cedar fencing around the trash enclosure. So it'll be screened and look nice. Next slide, please. This is just our material board. So we introduced that fiber cement lap siding will be new. We introduced that it's the same color as the panel siding. And again, we're just trying to vary some texture in there with that. Next slide, please. And here's our renderings of what the composition will look like. So this is looking towards the front of the building along the side. So this is kind of as you approach from Verizon, this is kind of the view you will have. And then next slide, please. And this last slide is the backside. This is kind of how the residents will approach the building and how that's kind of separated. We have the residents are kind of entering along the left side, and then on the right side is all the grocery stores. So we have that access door to their storeroom for deliveries and things like that. And I believe that's what we have. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions for either Carl or the staff? Wendy.
I have some questions. I noticed in the staff memo, they mentioned some inconsistencies, and I'm wondering if you could clarify those for me, and I'll list them. The lighting plan shows landscaping located along the western property line where it does not appear on the site and the landscape plan. The lighting plan doesn't show any retaining walls. The site and landscape plan show different extents of the retaining walls than the grading and erosion control plan. And then there are two ground signs that are shown on the site and landscape plan that are not shown on the civil plan sheets. Could you please clarify those discrepancies?
Sure. I guess we don't have the civil plans in front of us, but I do recall what the discrepancies are. Okay. So this is the lighting plan, right? They have a very long landscape bed along this entire property line. This is our planting plan. We have a very short bed that's very centrally located. This is the extent of the retaining wall on the north side of the property and then on the south side. This retaining wall actually goes on to the adjacent property. When you look at the civil drawings, the retaining wall wraps around and probably comes down to close to this planting bed, which is definitely not reflected here. I believe that same extent is noted also on the grading plan, but the landscaping shown on this lighting plan does not align with the landscaping nor the retaining walls shown on any of the plans because there are no retaining walls on the lighting plan. So, between those plan sheets, there's a couple of discrepancies with regard to landscaping. And
thanks, Jessica. And perhaps the applicant could explain what they intend since we don't know.
Tom, maybe you want to speak to the extent of that retaining wall.
Yeah, that landscaping sheet, that is a mistake. I'm sorry. There's no encroachment into the Verizon property. That we talk about that in the beginning, so I'm sorry, it should not have shown like that.
And I believe the intent is that retaining wall follows what Civil has shown, that it's going to continue down along to that reduced planting bed.
Yeah, correct.
And that's part of why that planting bed is kind of shorter.
Sure. And then the two signs, there's a monument sign here and there's a pylon sign here. I talked with engineering staff about the signage. Ultimately, I believe this sign is shown on this plan and not on the civils. But this pylon sign, it was unclear whether this is a new sign or existing sign. Either or, this sign, engineering staff does have a condition of approval that it has to be removed. And this sign, certainly its location would need to be adjusted accordingly to meet the UDD2 guidelines and requirements, in particular the setbacks and the size. But that's a separate review and approval process when they have the sign details and design fleshed out a little bit more.
Yeah, we know about that. We'll submit another application for the signs and get the sign in the right location. So we want a monument sign on the on Sebo Road, and that was not shown in the informational meeting, but I know you guys know Mary Beth from Ryan Sign, and we talk about that we could have a monument sign, so we just showed that on this plan, but we'll adjust that with our second submittal for the signs submittal.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, I guess Wendy has muted herself, so I guess there's no more questions. We've got Shane with his hand raised.
Thank you. Question for the applicant. What is the modular retaining wall material?
I believe it's a concrete designer blocks. So Homburg is installing that. So it's a designing block, so it'll be a beautiful wall.
Okay. It would be good to maybe see that if you come back. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? I have a couple. Jess, could you go back to that last rendering that we saw at the end of the presentation? Yeah, right there. So is that the true size of the panels then? They're going to be that big? Those are that represents the joints for the panels?
Yeah, we're planning to use larger fiber cement panels.
Okay, and then the fasteners would be concealed on those?
Yeah, we were planning concealed fasteners and then the painted reveal that will match the panels themselves.
Okay. And then, Jess, there was a building cross-section, if you could go to that. This goes to our request that the parapet be lowered. And I see on the bottom there, I think it's 42 inches, or I guess, I don't know. Can you zoom into that? I can't remember what it is. The bottom one. There we go. Yeah. So a couple questions. What happens when the rooftop unit is actually taller? Is the parapet going to go up? Because I believe most of those rooftop units, I know it's not engineered yet, but they come on a 12 to 16 inch high curb that's above the surface of the roof. So how are you going to handle that screening?
Well, we've had that discussion with our contractor, and he said 4 foot is enough for a parapet to hide the HVAC units.
Yeah, so you're 4 feet from the deck, and that doesn't include any insulation or tapering. So I guess I'm just wondering, would you consider just putting an inexpensive screen wall just around the unit, you know, that could be exposed fastener, metal panel or something, and not have to go to the expense of extending your parapet wall and all your exterior relatively more expensive materials around the complete perimeter of the building when you really only need to screen the HVAC units. And then it could be as tall as it needs to be.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's fine. Also, okay. If you guys could switch back to the elevation on the north side, it shows the That's a great one more. No, another the what with the north elevation, the back of the building.
Look at that lap there. There we go.
I'll see. That is a great representation of the wall, the
right.
retaining wall.
Oh, the retaining wall.
Design.
All right. Brick. So, Shane, it looks like it's some kind of segmented interlocking modular block wall.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, you answered my questions about the materials and the parapet and the RTU screening. I think that's all the questions I had. Russell.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the pictures that were provided in the full plan set. It looks like there are some existing trees. And if I'm reading the plan correctly, that the plan is to try to preserve those trees. Is that accurate? Are there any trees that are we know or need to be removed, or could you speak to the existing trees?
We removed one big cottonwood in the northwest corner. I believe that's a cottonwood. About where the trash enclosure is.
There's also looks like a pretty substantial power line pole kind of in that area. I think is there any way to preserve that cottonwood, or have you looked at attempting to shift the trash enclosure over some, or has that been discussed?
I don't think that is possible.
That's my only question. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Jessica.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's due to the rendering, but I just want to make sure on this north elevation that the horizontal joints in the panels on the bottom section are going to continue. They don't really show up on this rendering, but they are on your orthographic elevations.
Yeah, we would definitely have the horizontal reveals in that fiber cement panel.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it would reflect to the elevations.
Okay.
Good. I'm just not coming through very well on that.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any. Oh, I do see one. Rafiq.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you thought about any relief when your materials change. It appears to be super planar and flat. And I was wondering, is that intentional, or have you thought about, just giving yourself a little bit of relief where maybe it looks like your fiber cement olive may be proud of your panel, of your siding, or I don't want to say vice versa, but just something where where they meet is not just so coplanar.
Yeah, at the moment it is fairly coplanar. There's a slight change just in the way those two materials meet, but it's they are right at the moment the way it's designed, they're relatively in the same plane.
But that's intentional.
Yeah, that is intentional. But we could explore if we needed to kind of introduce some more relief and variation in there.
Right, and then I would say as you explore that, maybe also look at some of your datums. Maybe some of your canopies that might be at different heights. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but I would just look at that.
Yeah, the canopies are at slightly different heights. The residential one is a little bit lower to align with that kind of dark bronze horizontal band that's going around there. And then the canopies for the grocery store are a bit higher.
Okay. Thanks, Rafiq. Any other questions? Last call? Nope. Okay, then we can close the presentation portion and open it up for deliberation amongst commissioners. Wendy.
Well, Cliff, I would applaud your suggestion to have the actual mechanical unit screened so proper and to lower that, you know, the roof line. I find it still very top heavy and it seems out of proportion and out of scale. So I would encourage that.
Thank you. I agree with you, and I think that that might be a cost-effective measure because that's a lot of exterior finish that they're putting around the whole building. And in case that RTU ends up on a curb, they may have to, you know, go up another 8 or 10 inches, and that just contributes to the top heaviness. There was the you know, the staff report that talked about. That parapet also talked about finding whether we feel like the windows, doors, and storefronts work with the composition of the joints and the seams, the adequacy of landscaping for screening, the inconsistencies that you brought up, Wendy, and then the adequacy of the light fixtures. I guess not necessarily us to pass judgment on the photometrics, but are the actual light fixtures that they submitted of high quality and good for this project. Shane.
Thank you. I have a handful of landscape comments, but I think more important than those, I'm struggling to kind of wrap my head around the residential use of this project as it relates to some of the open space requirements, which was mentioned in the staff report, I think under the landscape kind of subject heading. I think at overarching here at first glance, it seems like an attractive small building. I think a nice composition and kind of interesting color palette. The site design is obviously very limited given all that's going on and just the size of it. So if this were just a small commercial building, I think that would feel appropriate. But the fact that there's residential on the second floor kind of has me spinning a little bit. And this is probably more of a plan commission issue, but trying to picture someone living here and what kind of amenities they have. They're kind of surrounded by low scale commercial. You have the hotel next door. But there's not really any usable open space, given the grade change in the site walls, which is really what's mentioned in the staff report. So that does trouble me, thinking just about the quality of life for someone who might live upstairs. But I guess if I set that aside for a second, a handful of landscape comments. The lighting plan was the one plan that did show planting along that west edge. And I think there should be something along that west edge rather than just grass or lawn. Also, there's I like the plant palette, but there is a large deciduous tree proposed for kind of the front center on the street side. And I think it directly conflicts with a light pole, and it's in a pretty narrow space. So I would ask the team to maybe revisit the location of that tree. And let's see, I also just wanted to make note, because I didn't see it anywhere on the plans, that anywhere you have planting beds, it should be a shredded bark mulch. Just so we don't end up seeing stone mulch. And I think that's it. I don't know if anyone else had comments about the residential use of this project, but I'd be curious to see if anyone else did have other comments. And I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Rafiq, you have a comment on the residential?
Well, it's more of the windows for the residential, and I don't know. I probably should have asked this question in the other portion. I don't know. Are those the same windows in terms of mullion depths and operable, or I'm just not sure with the rendering what that actually is in terms of the windows or the glazing?
Well, they most likely are required or are using the windows for their natural ventilation requirements in this building. So I would, I guess that they're horizontal sliders.
So are they all the same type of windows, or am I just reading the renderings a little
I
bit
guess
different?
we'd have to look at the, I don't know, Jess, is there anything on the elevations?
The elevations look like casement windows on all of them.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
Casements would work.
you can kind of see a little bit of depth here.
Yeah.
These look like, I'm not sure about the operability of these, but these certainly look like they have a little bit more depth in them. And that same thing as here and maybe here, but the rest of them, I'm not 110% sure about. We'd have to ask the applicant.
Well, and you've got some elevations. Do they n note swing direction? Okay. Yeah, they do look like casements. Any other comments on that, Rafiq?
No, I wasn't sure if this was just a visualization thing, a graphic thing or not, but they just didn't seem like they were all the same. Yeah, that was it.
Wendy.
Rafiq, I saw the same thing as you, and I probably should have asked the question as well. It's the triple versus the double and the single. It doesn't I'd like to see the floor plan of where those triples occur, just because the rhythm, the proportions change across the elevations and they're not consistent, and that's a little disturbing to me in terms of the panel size and the windows. So we can't really tell.
Well, that certainly could be adjusted so that the individual units, whether they're mulled, in singles, doubles, or triples, could, all be the same module. That could certainly be a condition. Okay. So, getting back to the residential usable open space, Shane, I read that in the report, but I'm thinking that this building is on an on-ramp to the Beltline, and there's only two units. And so whoever lives here will likely not find this the last two apartments in the city of Madison that they could possibly live. And so they're certainly living here, understanding the site and the neighborhood that they're moving to. So just given the fact that it's just two units and maybe even some of the occupants have some relationship with the operation of the store downstairs and they just want to live there. It's not a 200 unit apartment building, so I say if you want to live there, go ahead, because any open space that you have outside, you're basically going to be hearing the Beltline and the on-ramp to the Beltline and was in Gammon Road to your left. So it's not a very appealing outdoor location. I don't care how many arborvitaes you put up.
Two notes though that I wanted to make with regard to open space. Ultimately, the zoning administrator will make a determination whether or not the open space meets the zoning code requirements and definition for usable open space, which will be evaluated as part of the conditional use. I didn't see anything in their staff comments off the top of my head when I looked, but I don't believe those are due until the end of this week. So their formal staff comments and conditions will be released, and the planning staff report will be forthcoming this Friday. The other thing I wanted to note too, I know the applicant in their presentation, since we're talking about zoning code requirements, they talked a little bit about the spandrel glass along the street facing first floor elevation. I know that they mentioned that it's going to be a grocery store area, and they wanted to use a spandrel glass with a film, and that's very likely for refrigeration units. However, the zoning code does have a requirement for a maximum amount of spandrel that can be used on street-facing ground floor elevations. The way this is sitting today, it does not meet those requirements, and the spandrel glass will need to be some of it will need to be reduced to meet the zoning code. So that's not something that we, as the Urban Design Commission, have the review purview to negotiate and or to approve. Ultimately, compliance with the zoning code is determined by the zoning administrator and is a requirement, not a guideline. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, thank you. Jessica.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out something about the lighting, if we could go to one of the perspectives. And the staff memo noted that the lighting fixtures are pretty utilitarian, and that might deserve a relook. I also am not sure that I understand why they are mounted over an overhang, a solid overhang, what the point of that is. So maybe if this comes back, the lighting fixture itself choice and also location could use another review. Thanks.
Thank you. And certainly that could be a condition attached to a motion that any wall down lighting at a canopy location be located under the canopy instead of above it.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Any other comments? No? Is there a motion? Wendy?
I'd like to make a motion for initial approval. And the motion conditions would be to adjust the window units to be within the same module, to have shredded bark in all of the planting beds. I understand we don't have the purview to weigh in on the spandrel glass, but we would want to see the solution after it's been proposed and accepted by the zoning administrator, to lower the parapet and screen the actual HVAC unit, and to adjust the lighting fixture location below canopies and reselect a fixture more appropriate for our urban design district.
Okay. Is there a second on that motion? Seconded by Jessica. Okay.
Before we vote and discuss, I wanted to get one point of clarification from Wendy, just for my own understanding. As probably as well as the applicants, is when we say adjust the window units to be located in the same module. Could you elaborate on that a little bit more?
So the proportions are, you're always using the same proportion, whether it's two or three, to get the proportions to work equally.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Shane.
Thank you. Just a simple request for maybe a friendly amendment to include a couple of the other landscape items I mentioned, including the landscape edge along the west property line and shifting the tree that conflicts with the light pole in the front.
I'm fine with that.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So, Wendy, if the resolution for the spandrel glass did not change the openings, the storefront openings on the ground floor, could these other conditions be handled administratively, do you think?
Actually, I do think they could be.
Okay, so that then would be a final approval. But I just wanted to ask you that because I agree. If they really have to rethink all of their storefront openings, it would be something that we might want to see. But the other things I think might have a chance of being worked out with staff.
So are we changing to a final approval or are we sticking with initial?
Well, I guess I'd ask the motion maker.
Well, the challenge for me is, I don't know, you know, the challenge for me is the storefront. I would be up for final, but I just don't know what that's a pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole corner design.
Yeah. So the final, I guess if it was final, it would be we're approving this.
Correct.
If they can't work their interior layout out or the amount of spandrel glazing of those units, then they would have to come back because they're changing the design. Mm-hmm. Jessica.
I think I got lost on the window. I thought they had said they're doing non-spandrel glass, but they're putting a film over it that can then be taken down.
Well, it's up to the zoning administrator to determine whether or not that meets the zoning code requirements of spandrel versus vision glass.
Okay.
But it's my understanding it doesn't. It's a requirement, right, Jessica?
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't meet it. Okay.
But, you know, there's nothing to say they couldn't adjust their internal layout and go ahead and put more vision glass, and then the design just stays the way it is. But should they have to change things around, then it would be worth revisiting, I think. So... any other discussion on the motion? We would leave it up to Wendy to decide whether we and the person who seconded the motion, whether we go ahead and vote on this. Okay, I don't see any request or any offering to change it. So why don't we go ahead and vote conditionally then for initial approval as moved and seconded, unless there's any other discussion on the motion.
I just have one thing, Cliff, just really quick. Mm-hmm. I noted, I can't remember if you guys actually said this or if this was just in my notes. I know Shane asked about the retaining wall and the retaining wall materials. Do we put something in the motion for the retaining wall or not? And did we want to? Because those are pretty tall walls, and there's nothing solid in the plans that says one way or another.
I thought it was clarified in the rendering for me personally.
The only concern that I have with renderings is that typically those aren't our kind of legal documents. If we want it needs to be kind of on the civil and the elevation drawings as well as the site drawings.
Okay, so the motion could be amended that the retaining wall be a modular segmented concrete wall versus, you know, saying some Borden place or other out of scale retaining wall. Shane?
I was simply going to add that I think that's a good idea to see it if it's coming back. I think not all modular blocks are created equal, and this is just a rendering. It's not reality. So actual product data, I think, would be good.
Okay, so cut sheets on the retaining wall material.
And I'm fine adding that to the motion.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, no other discussion on the motion? And this is for initial approval. All those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. It's like a few little things to clean up, and we'll look forward to seeing that again. That brings us to our informational presentation on agenda item number 36701 McKee Road.
We have three people registered to speak, including Abby Holtman, Joseph Lee, and Brock Hins. And then Alex Weiss and Jake Livesey are here to answer questions.
Great. We go ahead, Cliff.
Anytime you're ready.
All right. Thank you, Cliff. My name is Joe Lee with JLA Architects. I don't know, Jessica, are you moving the slides? Can you go to the next page? If you are, thank you. This is a project that this body has seen when we got GDP approval early in 2023. So we are back refining the design, moving toward an SIP submittal, including a neighborhood meeting and another subsequent UDC meeting after this in October and November. So we're here to review the progress of the design since you saw it over a year ago and get some feedback to work towards those milestones in October. You can see here the site is on McKee Road and Maple Grove Drive. It's in a mixed use area of the city. There's a grocer to the east across Maple Grove Drive, some other small retail establishments, and a lot of multifamily and residential uses as well. Go to the next slide, please. Here's the site plan as it stands today. As you can see, it's significantly identical to how it was when we got the GDP approved. There are a few refinements that we've done. I can point those out based on your comments from that point in time. The program is essentially the same. We have 125 multifamily units in the A1 and A2 parts of the building, as well as 2,500 square feet of commercial space on the southeast corner of the site, Maple Grove Drive and Mater Drive. If you remember, access to the site is extremely limited, only available off of Mater Drive. Both McKee Road and Maple Grove Drive do not have any vehicular access available to it. The site design, you can see here, A1, A2, identical to how we had it when the GDP was approved, with surface parking spread across the site, divided between the two buildings. A couple of things that have changed based on your comments when the GDP was approved is we've reduced the amount of surface parking, added some green space, common amenity outdoor space. You can see there, both between the buildings, A1 and A2, we've increased the amount of common amenity outdoor space. And to the left or west of that A2 building on the north side, we've added some open space as well, which we are intending to be a pet area or a dog run. I'm going to turn it over to Brock. Brock is going to go over the architectural design and how we've refined that since you saw it last year. Brock?
Great. Thanks, Joe. So if you go to the next slide, we can just go to the parking level parking level connects both of the buildings, similarly to what was shown before. We have internal bike storage, internal refuse, and then our commercial space is a two-story space. Go to the next slide. Here you can see that the building entries are both on the west side of each building. They're mid-level entries, so you'll, when you enter the building, you go up a couple stairs, and on building A1 on the right side, the east side, we've got a leasing office, the commercial again to the south. And then on the north, we have a fitness room and club room with access to a terrace, which would have a pool deck, a barrel sauna, and a pool and gazebo with a grill area. And that will be screened off, which I'll show you in our rendering later on. Next slide. So just going up the building, it's units, as Joe said, we've got the unit mix similar to what we had in the GDP. Next slide. So for the exterior elevations, if we look at the north facade, you can see that architectural screen that goes across the middle, and that is kind of those panels are meant to be human scale. It's a kind of custom pre-finished aluminum architectural fence screen, and that data line runs across between the buildings. For materials, we have fiber cement, we have concrete block veneer, and then that aluminum, of course. On the corners, we're using a burnished block. And then as you see on the other elevation there on the long elevation below, we have split face block, which would be the same color, but a different texture. We have lap siding, which is a different color than our other fiber cement panel siding and board and batten. That's intended to be the same color with just a different pattern to create some variation. And then we have sliding glass patio doors. If you go to the next slide. So here you can see the south elevation. We've got the commercial, which is the two-story space, which we're celebrating the corners. We've got the we've got a hat kind of overhang at the at each corner, and some pilasters that are wrapped with an accent color. On the bottom elevation, you can see the what the entry would look like for each building. And on this interior face, the other material that we have is a board-formed concrete. Since you saw it last time, we have reduced the amount of exposed lower level garage. The most of it you see is on the inside faces. If you go to the next slide. As you can see, the site slopes from the north to the south. And so in areas where it's exposed more, so on the bottom elevation, you can see we've added windows into the parking area where it's more exposed. Next slide. These are just some images of context of what the amenity space would look like in the center with the architectural screen and the gazebo and the pool. Next. And these are two of the main corners. So we've got McKee. Well, the McKee Road is the inside corner with a dog, the dog park that we're showing. That fence, we're intending to put some more landscaping in there to obscure that more and make it a bit nicer. And again, each corner of the building is celebrated. So it, you know, gets a little bit taller. The windows are a little bit bigger. And that's where the two bedroom units are located. The bottom rendering shows the commercial. And the view that's towards us would be kind of the secondary entrance or the pedestrian entrance along Maple Grove Drive. And then the inside face, the parking lot would be the vehicular entrance. And there would be outdoor seating in that location. If you go to the top page, the cover page, all the way at the top, yeah. So that's really the main elevation along McKee and Maple Grove. And there you can see the architectural screen wall that connects the buildings and the main kind of corner design with a blade sign and a monument sign for the commercial space in the south. And I'll open it up to any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions for staff? Questions for the designers? We got Jessica and then Wendy.
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping that you might clarify on they look like columns or pilasters. I think they're listed as wrapped columns on the drawings. We can see it here on the corner on the upper level. Does that go right up against the siding or
so in reality it probably will touch the siding, just depending on how much. So we've just been trying to fit the building inside of the setbacks and getting that the lower wall with as much relief as we can. So right now it's shown at 8 inches, but I think we can get a foot. So if we can get enough room, we would separate the column, but just depending on the wall assembly, it may be a pilaster. But obviously the exposed columns on the corner would be a full column.
I guess I'm wondering what the thought is on that. Is that to break up that upper floor?
Yeah, it's to break it up and then also just to show some height at the corner. So it's right. So it breaks it up and it creates a more, I guess, human scale, because if we didn't have those there, it gets pretty pretty big. I mean, the board and batten breaks it up a bit, but the pilasters or columns, I think, do a better job of just creating an accent.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Go ahead, Wendy.
Can you please explain your approach to mechanical ventilation? Do you have mechanical louvers or wall packs? And if so, where are either of those located?
So the wall packs are going to be on the inside sides of the balconies. So all the balconies are inset. So we will not have them on the main facades to keep the main facades pretty pure. So they'll be visible but obscured.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, what do we got? Shane and then Russell.
Thanks. A couple questions, and I don't know if this is staff or the applicant, but do we have an image of the GDP site plan? I think this is their current.
This is pretty close, Shane, okay, to what we approved for the GDP, with the exception of this area, which I think had a, in the staff memo, I think I looked at it, and it's maybe 9 parking stalls have been removed.
Okay, so that was the main subtraction of parking in that dog run.
Yeah.
Okay.
As well as over by the pool as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we lost some in here too.
Yeah, and then also we removed the sidewalk to get more green space between the between us and the adjoining building.
Okay. My second question in regards to the pool, just thinking about solar exposure and in the way it's right now kind of off center. And I almost wonder if you would rather shift it more to the east to pick up more afternoon sun. Now I know that I'm talking about structure and things underneath are, you know, it's probably complicated, but wondering if that's something you would consider or is even possible.
So we did look at it, and we looked at it with a solar study. And so we have Enscape, and we located the building and looked at how the sun sweeps across. And there's actually surprisingly a lot of sun for most of the day in this area. And the reason it is shifted is to get a larger pool, because we initially had it centered. We only have one walk accessing on the A1 side, so we've left more room over there, and so the pool has shifted just to get more pool area. We also have a little sun deck there, which would be located over the parking area. So, I mean, it's possible. I think what we would do is potentially reduce the pool size, but yeah, we have looked at the sun studies with all the fences and the buildings, and like I said, just the amount of space between the buildings leaves it pretty. I mean, if you go to the pool renderings, maybe if you go to that, yeah. So there you can see, in general. So that's maybe, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. Or sorry. Anyways, it's within 1 or 2 hours of midday, so you can see just how much sun the pool does get.
Okay. And then, Chair, if it's all right, I just have a few other comments I would continue with.
Sure.
Okay.
Especially if you would like some response from the designers.
Yeah, sure. Well, I just wanted to comment. So, along the street side of the pool terrace, I really like this architectural screen that you've developed. I think it's a really nice touch, and I think what it's lacking is kind of how it fits in with landscape and softened by landscape. And I think on both sides of the fence, you would possibly want to look at some sort of softscape to help anchor the screen. I like the fact that you can see this from the street, from McKee. But I think something like ornamental trees or mass planting of ornamental grasses that kind of give it some movement and texture and help kind of reinforce it as a filtered screen would be nice. And likewise, you mentioned it, but with the dog run area too, I think some planting at the base of that fence would really help it. Help anchor it in the landscape and really add to the aesthetics of it.
Yeah, thank you. We've also discussed potentially something like hops, but I guess the question would be, how much it obscures it by having like a vine on there. But yeah, that's something we'll continue with when landscape comes on board.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that terrace is over structure. But if there were any opportunities to introduce more planting beds and plant material to soften a lot of the elevated terrace, and a lot of those other edges, I think it would be nice. That's it for now, though. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Russell.
Thank you. Nice project. I just wanted to ask about the dog run, and I apologize if you said it, I had an audio issue for part of your presentation, but why that location versus, say, along Golden Copper? Just curious why that spot.
So along Golden Copper, that's the future funeral home in that area. We thought it was a good location. While it's very visible from McKee Road, it has really good access from the north side of the building, so both buildings have really equal, almost equal access to the dog run. And then we were also able to reduce the parking on the A2 building and get like a really efficient lot layout with the dog run over there. So yeah, it is very visible. We get that. So I think there'll be some design involved in what that looks like.
Yeah, that makes, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just farther from the residence. But I like the comments about, maybe some plantings to integrate it to the site a little bit. Anchor it, I think was the word. So thanks. That was my only question.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, no hands raised, so we'll go ahead and close the presentation component and open it up for discussion and deliberation. Now, this is informational, but we certainly would like to provide as well as receive information so that they are on a firm footing when they come back for a land use application. If you go to the staff report, you can see that there are a number of issues that Jess would like us to weigh in on, not the least of which are the reduced on-site parking, expanses of unarticulated base walls of the building, the unit entries or entry orientation towards the streets, the building design and its contextual compatibility and providing the aesthetic desirability, HVAC units, for which I think were addressed, and then the adequacy of the landscaping to screen those walls that we talked about. So go ahead, Wendy.
Thank you. I would say I'm just going to tick through my thoughts on the staff report and then some other observations as well. I do feel that the exposed space is quite a large amount of exposure without landscape to soften or use of any other kind of architectural tools that might modulate that exposed space. I'm sympathetic to the challenge of the site design, but I think we would expect some improvements there. I'm a little curious about the entries into the buildings and wonder if there couldn't be some exploration of how to connect the buildings to the street level a little bit more than they are. The building design, I couldn't tell from the rendering when Jessica had her questions about the pilasters, if they were actually centered over the cement material. I don't know if that was skewed in the elevation, but I would encourage that those look like they're functioning pilasters and not only decorative. And then I would like to see the next time they come, actually some more details about the wall packs. You know, when they're just recessed in a rendering or an elevation, everything looks very dark. And I would like to see those. And I'm not bothered by the location of the dog run and what it does to reduce the parking. But it might be nice if it's not quite so exposed out to the street, and maybe, and you kind of have this idea of the parking becomes the courtyard. Maybe the dog run is more of a courtyard type of experience rather than just exposed to the street. Thank you.
Thanks. Jess, could you go to the, I think it's one of the last renderings where they were showing that signage, that monument sign, the very end. I think it was at the very end. Is that the end?
First,
there was one where there was a rendering. Maybe it was at the beginning. I don't know. There it is. I knew it was there somewhere. So this is going to what Wendy was saying about you know, the relationship to the units, to the street. And I know that the building certainly has a setback, but that doesn't necessarily mean that first floor patios and little garden walls can't come out into this building setback area, because they're just walls and landscaping. And I think we've seen this in other projects where at least the first floor patio could come out further into the green area there, and maybe even denote privacy by a small gate fence or a garden wall or all three of them, depending on where you're going down the elevation, so that there is a relationship and an orientation to the street, even if it's not the main unit entry. And I think that Wendy's comments about the expansive walls without openings could really be helped at some areas with some terrace walls that could be planted, so that the landscape planting could kind of cascade down in different areas to really help minimize the height of that wall. Again, without necessarily having to change the function in the building or even change that wall, but just have some terraced planter walls on various sides of the building could, I think, really help that along to make it a little bit softer in that transition. And then with regard to the dog walk, I think I definitely agree with some of the other comments that it could be defined better than just a chain link fence along McKee. You know, maybe it's a low masonry wall or some other elements architectural that give it that courtyard effect that Wendy was talking about. So I don't think it's a matter of changing the building design, but kind of bringing some of the building elements out into the public realm a little bit to, you know, to give it a little bit more connection with the two main streets there. And those are my comments, Shane.
Yeah, very much in continuation of that conversation. I think in this view, you see the way the building corner is really not anchored in the landscape. And I know there's an entry off to the left, but it feels appropriate that there would be some site improvements, some hardscape site improvements, to really hold this urban edge and connect it more to the intersection corner. So I could see, like kind of like you said, Cliff, low site walls or terrace walls, as well as kind of a hardscape patio and additional landscaping under the area where we see a blade sign and kind of connecting to that entry point off to the left. In addition to the other comments I had before, I did just, if we could go to the site plan, want to just comment on two other small site plan things. So one, the parking lot between A1 and A2, I believe you might want to see a dead stall for the ability to turn around in case the parking lot is full. And then secondly, on the west side of A2, it's just kind of a minor detail, but you see the rhythm of the parking lot trees in the commercial parking lot as it moves from west to east. And then there's a line of trees and it's kind of broken as it jogs down for your true two parking lot island trees. And it feels like you should continue that line, just kind of have a little bit more order. As far as how the parking lot islands are placed in the street tree locations. And it looks like based on the quantities of parking stalls labeled on the plan that you should still be able to take those two islands and bump them up to continue the line and not have too many consecutive parking stalls. Hopefully that makes sense. Yeah, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica. Wait a minute, we got to get you unmuted.
Durr. Okay, if we could look at an east of ele west elevation of A1, where the entrance is. Yeah, right there. So as far as I understand it, I think if you're not approaching by car, that you've got this entrance right here on the lower elevation, and then there's a stair entrance on the exterior wall. And I wonder if it might be a good idea, particularly on the far east wall, if people ever walk like across the street to the commercial area and walk back, how do they get back in this building? And right now, from what I can see, there's only a single stair door with no glazing in it or anything like that. And that might be something to look at as more of an entrance that ties to the sidewalk for pedestrians. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments for this informational presentation? No? Well, all right, then. I guess that concludes agenda item number 3 and all the projects that we have to consider for the afternoon. Fantastic. Secretary's report.
Okay, I'm unmuted. I always hate saying that to people. I feel like it's so wrong. With regard to recent Plan Commission actions, there was only one this recent last Monday, and it was the UW Digestive Health Center, the addition in the parking that we had talked about and made a recommendation to the Plan Commission on that was approved. Our next regular business meeting is October 9th, which is also looking like a pretty light agenda as well. We'll be taking a peek at 2450 East Washington Avenue. This was a new multifamily building located at the corner of East Wash and 7th Street. I think we saw that probably a couple months ago. And then we'll have a major amendment to a CDR for 823 East Washington Avenue. This is to change a sign type and its location to a non-qualifying elevation at the Moxie Hotel. So we'll be looking at both of those items. But I
Okay.
think buckle up because later this fall, I think our October 23rd meeting and our November 6th are already shaping up to be more robust agendas. So we get a little bit of reprieve here, which is nice.
Well, thank you. Shana, I hope you have a light on your porch, because some of these meetings are gonna, be cricket time. So let's see, any business by members? No? Okay. Well, then we've, oh, Jessica.
I was curious about replacements if we've gotten applicants and if anybody's maybe going to join us.
Yeah, so I have done some interviews. I have more this week, and I'm coordinating with the mayor's office very closely on those. I know I've made a couple of recommendations, but I think they're looking to take them as a group. So we'll be seeing some new commissioners hopefully here later this year. I think the way the council meetings are falling, we kind of talked about best case scenarios, and it's probably looking like a November timeframe.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other business by members? Seeing none, well, we can take advantage of this nice afternoon and a little bit of sunshine left. And one thing I did want to ask Shane, is in with regard to the transition, were you able to see what a co-host sees in on your Zoom screen there?
I don't think so. I think I just have the regular view, just the same link everyone else does.
Julie or Jess, was there any adjustment in his ability to see whatever you call the his authority to see what we see?
No, I'm so sorry, Shane. I think I forgot to make you a co-host. I'm terribly sorry. I'm
Well,
making a
we can.
note right now to make sure I do it next time.
Yeah, we can do it next time. Wonderful.
Wait,
Okay.
what do you get to see that I don't get to see?
Oh, all the magic, Jessica.
Oh my gosh, can you tell I'm not wearing any shoes?
Yeah, we got cameras
Yes,
in
we
all the
can.
commissioners' living rooms. They pivot. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, thanks a lot, Julie, and thanks for getting that set up next time. If there's no other business by members, then I guess we'll see each other in 2 weeks. And therefore, by unanimous consent, we are adjourned at 5:50.
Good night,
Bye.
everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.